We are going to continue on with our series in which we're looking at some of our favorite hymns and looking at the lessons that we learned from those. If you didn't see last week's, it's still up on our Facebook page or the audio is on our website. We looked at It Is Well With My Soul, and tonight we're going to look at the great hymn, How Great Thou Art. So I would encourage you to look at that last video if you didn't get to see it, and stay tuned for this one. I hope you all are having a great day. It's been absolutely beautiful outside. I just love this weather, as I'm sure we all do, and it really, I think, is fitting for the hymn that we're going to talk about and the scriptures that we're going to look at. Let's have a prayer, and we'll get started with our lesson. Father, I thank you so much because you are a good and awesome God, because you truly are great. And Father, it doesn't take long for us to look around at this world you've made and look in your word at what you've shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to understand that, Father, you truly are a great and awesome God. And so, Father, I pray that as we study these scriptures and we discuss the themes that we're looking at tonight, that you would help us to have understanding, and that you would help us, Father, to be worshipful. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what we face, Father, we want to be people who turn to you and who praise you for your greatness, for your goodness, and for your love. Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the 1920s, there was an English missionary named Stuart Heim. Him and his wife were ministering in Poland, and they learned this Russian version of a hymn that was sung to a Swedish melody. Later, Heim decided he would create some English words to go along with that Russian hymn that he learned. And this is the hymn that became How Great Thou Art. Now, it's said that the first three stanzas were inspired as he was ministering there in the mountains. And he heard the mighty thunder echoing around him. He saw the woods and the beauty of those things. He heard the birds singing, and he was able to write this song that so many of us know so well. This song became very popular in America in the 1950s, and before long, it was the number one hymn on both sides of the Atlantic. And so the hymn we're discussing tonight is the hymn, How Great Thou Art. And I want to start with the chorus just for a moment, because I think the chorus gives us the heart of what this song is trying to express. In the chorus of this song, the author says, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." And so the point of this hymn is to simply be a song of praise, a song of worship and adoration to God. And I really, really love that about this hymn. This is one of my favorites. And one of the things that I really love about it is that hymns can do multiple things. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to sing to one another and we are to edify one another and teach one another through our songs. And many of the hymns we sing, they teach great and awesome biblical truths, and this one does as well. But I like this hymn because it is a hymn of praise and worship directed directly to God, in which God's people are able to come to their Father and say to him, "How great thou art, how great thou art." And that's a really special thing. So the first two verses of this hymn, the author deals with nature, with creation, and how creation can cause us to worship God and really be in awe of him. What are some things in creation that really have jumped out to you, that have caused you to just stop for a moment and say, "Wow, God's amazing"? Share some of those things in the comments with us, if you will. What are some things in creation that really cause you to stop and say, "Wow, our God is great"? These last 2 days have been so wonderful for me in preparing for this lesson because I've gotten to go outdoors. And yesterday it was a little cooler, but I was able to go for a walk in the woods. And as I did that and I was there by myself, I heard the birds singing. I heard the frogs or whatever it was peeping. I saw the little bits of green starting to come up, even though most of the forest was pretty much brown and dead. But it was just amazing to be out in God's creation and to just think of these words. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. So I want to read to you the first two verses of this hymn, and then we're going to dive into some scripture, because we're not just here to study a hymn that a man wrote, we're here to study some scripture. And I love some of the comments that I see, you know, the leaves changing, Crater Lake at Yellowstone, I've never been there, but I'm sure it's amazing. The sunshine, yeah, today the sunshine, the springtime, those things were just so wonderful. Let me read to you the first two hymns, or the first two lines of this hymn. It begins, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then let me skip down to verse number 2. It says, and through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. You know, the words to me are just so beautiful and poetic, and they really capture what I see many of you are sharing. And that is that when we go out in nature, in God's creation, very often it causes us to think, we have a great God. We have an awesome Father who has created such a beautiful, wonderful world to live in. In Psalm 19 in verse 1, the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. And so you go out, you see the heavens, you see the sky, you hear the birds, you look down from the mountain, you hear the thunder, all of these things, and all of a sudden you go, wow, our God truly is glorious. Our God truly is great. And our God truly loves us. Have you ever considered the fact that God could have made this entire world totally gray, totally lifeless, totally boring? This world could have been the most ugly and hideous place to live, but God in his love and grace has made it so beautiful and wonderful. And part of the reason for that is because he loves us, but another part of it is simply because our God is glorious. Our God is great. And that's what the psalmist says. He says, I look at the sky, I see the stars, I see the host of heaven, and I praise God. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, we even read that God, in some ways, holds us accountable for not praising him when we look at creation. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. God tells us here that we have been shown some things clearly from creation about God. It's good to see some people who are logging on and watching this lesson. Good to see you all, and I appreciate your comments. But here in Romans 1, We see that God is telling us that man should be able to know who God is, at least somewhat, based on what he's shown us through creation. He says that we should be able to know his eternal power and his divine nature. Only someone as powerful, as great, and as divine as God could make a world like this. But yet there are many people who look at creation, shrug their shoulders, and say, eh. You know, it doesn't cause them to stop and to worship God and praise him. But we as God's people want to make sure that we are praising God for the gifts that he's given us. And one of those gifts is this world that he's made. In verse 25 of Romans chapter 1, where we were just reading from, it talks about how people exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so sometimes our temptation as humans is to look at the wonderful things God has made and worship them instead of worshiping God. You know, there are many, many cultures who have a sun god, a moon god. They have a god of the harvest, a god of the rain, a god of the springtime, a god of the winter. And what happens is people, they stop worshiping and serving the true God, and instead, they turn their attention to worship the creation, the things that God has made. Now, it's maybe easy for us to stand in judgment on those people and say, well, we would never be so foolish as to worship something in creation instead of worshiping God. But there's two words you see used here and used many times in Scripture. It talks about people worship and they serve. They devote themselves, they give their time, their energy, their resources to the things that they worship. And so I would challenge you that just because you do not bow down to a sun god or a moon god, that doesn't necessarily mean that you and I may not have some idols in creation that we are worshiping and serving above God. You know, sometimes we worship and serve our spouses, our children, our family above the God who created us. And we really should be serving and loving and devoted to our families. Don't get me wrong here, but our families are a part of the creation. They are not the ultimate thing that we are to be worshiping and serving. God is. Or maybe sometimes we worship and serve our careers, our money, our success, our education, whatever it is. You know, there's a whole host of things that people may worship and serve other than God. But one of the things that I love about this hymn, How Great Thou Art, is the author is able to say, I see the glory of creation, I see the beauty and the splendor all around. And yet, instead of saying how great the birds are, how great the thunder is, how great the mountain is, he says, how great my God is. And that's the place we need to be. So, one of the first lessons that I learned from this hymn is that we worship God because of the things he's made, but we don't turn those things that he's made into an idol and worship those things. Feel free to give comments or questions as I'm going along, and I will try to respond to some of those as I can. But let me read to you the next two verses in our hymn. The next two verses kind of switch gears. They go from simply being verses that talk about God's splendor and greatness in creation to being verses that talk about God's greatness and his glory in redemption. And so you have God being praised for his creation, and then you have God being praised for his redemption. In the third stanza of this song, the author goes on to say, and when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. You know, I see a big similarity between this hymn and the one we did last week, It Is Well With My Soul. Because in that hymn, the author, Horatio Spafford, starts out by saying, I've learned, you know, when peace like a river comes my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, I've learned to be content, to say it's well with my soul. But then, in his later stanzas of that song, he turns his attention to saying, I can praise God because Jesus died for me and took away my sin. I can praise God because Christ is going to return for me one day. And that's exactly what Stuart Hine does here in the hymn, How Great Thou Art. He begins to say, I praise God, yes, for his creation, but even more than that, I praise God for his salvation. I praise God because Jesus on the cross died and took away my sin. He bore my burden. He took my punishment. He took my guilt. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, in this, the love of God was made manifest. That is a word that means to bring to light, to make clear. The other day, Isabella was complaining about having a splinter in her hand. And you know how it is when someone has a splinter. You don't just kind of, you know, grab their hand and look at it anywhere. You take it somewhere where there's a lot of light. And that's exactly what we did. We brought her into our bathroom because our bathroom has these bright lights, and we flip them on so that we can examine her hand to see what is actually there. Here he says that the love of God was made manifest. It was made clear. A light was shone on God's love so that we could see it clearly. And it says it was made manifest in this way. This is how God showed his love. 1 John 4, verse 9. That God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, maybe you are familiar with the word propitiation, maybe you are not, but it is a word that means an atoning sacrifice. And it comes from the idea that back in the Old Testament, God's people, when they would commit sin, they would have to offer some kind of animal in their place, a lamb or a goat or a bull or a dove, whatever it was, would have to be offered so that your sin would be paid for and so that you could go away guiltless. What God is saying here is that Jesus Christ came to this world, that's what showed God's love, and he gave his life as a propitiation, as that sacrifice. He put himself in our place. He took our sin. He took our burden, he took our guilt, and all of that was nailed to the cross. And so as we sing this hymn, we sing these words that God, his Son not sparing, he sent him to die. I scarce can take it in. And that's right, Mike, it's an exchange. Jesus took our place on the cross. He bled, he died to take away my sin. And so, you may look around and maybe the world seems dreary. Maybe you look at creation and maybe it's a dismal day outside. Maybe you just don't feel inspired to worship God from his creation. Well, maybe you need to go a little bit deeper and realize we always have a reason to praise God and call him a great and mighty God. And that reason is that Jesus Christ died. He took our place. He became our sacrifice. And so we can say, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. There's one more verse. If verse 3 deals with the removal of sin, then we could say that verse 4 deals with the return of Christ. And this is a similar theme to it is well with my soul. You see, one verse of the hymn deals with Christ dying for us, taking our sin, and then the next line deals with Christ's return. And Christians, this is the thing that should be giving us hope, that should be causing us every day to say, I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm not going to give up in my faith because I have a God who sent his son to die on the cross for me, and that God is coming back. And one day, I'm going to live with him for all eternity. And so, at the end of the day, no matter what we face in this life, we should be able to get through it because we know what's coming. We know what is ahead of us in the future. Let me read this last verse from the hymn, How Great Thou Art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Let me read to you from Philippians chapter 2. And if you have a Bible, turn there with me. Philippians chapter 2. I'll start in verse 8. Speaking of Jesus, it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus Christ is going to come one day with that shout of acclamation, and every knee, every tongue, every person is going to look at him and realize he is truly great. But for some people, it's going to be too late. For some people, they've missed the opportunity in this life to proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And when we do that, we forsake the right to proclaim, my God, how great thou art in this next life. But isn't it such a joy and such a thrilling thought to realize that one day we will be at the feet of Jesus, and there we will be able to proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Can you imagine singing this hymn in heaven with millions and millions of Christians, brothers and sisters from all of history, together at the throne of God, saying, my God, how great thou art. To me, that is the most thrilling and breathtaking thought there is. And so I hope that as you go about your life, as you go into God's creation, as you sing these hymns, as you contemplate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that all the while you'll do so by saying, my God, how great thou art. I love this comment from Danielle. We praise God in the good times, and we praise him in the difficult times we face. He will always be there for us no matter what. Amen. That is so true. You know, this is a lesson that I think we often need reminded of. When times are good and when times are difficult. See, when times are good, sometimes my temptation is not to say how great thou art, but to say how great Ben is. You know, sometimes when everything's good, I focus on myself too much. And I start thinking, maybe I'm the reason life is good. Maybe I'm the reason everything's going well for me. And sometimes we fall into this trap of pride, and maybe we're not thankful to God like we should be. But yet at the same time, sometimes when things are bad and they are difficult, we're tempted to say, God, where are you? Why have you abandoned us? Why are you not with us? But throughout all of it, we should be able to say, how great thou art. Everything is so unsure, Nancy says, except the promises of God. And that is so, so true. God is good all the time. Circumstances have nothing to do with that. Amen, amen. I so appreciate the opportunity to be able to study God's Word with you, and I love reading those comments and those type of things. Make sure if you have a favorite hymn that you leave it in the comments, and next week we will try to explore the meaning of that one. And I think next week we'll be doing the hymn, I Come to the Garden, or I Come to the Garden Alone. I got a couple requests for that one. So if you have a favorite hymn, leave it in the comments. But for now, let me simply leave you with this thought. We worship a great God, and we have so many reasons to proclaim that to Him. And we don't have to wait till shelter in place is over. We don't have to wait till we're out of quarantine. We don't have to wait for all of these things to praise and worship God. And so I would invite you to do that tonight. Maybe spend some time singing some hymns with your family or by yourself. I did leave a link in the description for a version of this hymn, and I particularly enjoyed it because you could hear little babies cooing and making noise in the background. But take some time to praise God, to worship Him. Go to Him in prayer. Tell Him how great He truly is. I appreciate all of you and your feedback. If you have questions or comments, please get in touch. If you do not know Jesus Christ and you have not been cleansed and washed from your sin, I would really, really encourage you to take some steps to understand what you need to do and who He is. Again, get in touch with us. Send us a message. Give us a call. We would love to talk with you. If there's any need that you have, please reach out. Thank you all so much. I'm going to pray for us one more time, and I would encourage you to spend a little bit of time worshiping and praising God. Father, you truly are great, and we look at your creation. We see the wonderful things that you've made, but Father, more than that, we look at the cross and we see that Jesus Christ lived and died for us to remove our sin, to make us righteous before you. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us each and every day to proclaim your greatness and your glory. Father, I pray that we would always be people who proclaim the excellencies of the one who called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See y'all next time. Have a great night.